Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Every Tuesday afternoon, we try to offer our listeners a little bit of free advice. And today we're chatting to divorce mediator Michelle Brown, who's with me in studio. Michelle, good afternoon. How are
good
you doing?
Afternoon, Andrea. I'm great, thank you.
Good. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number for your questions, queries, or perhaps if you're looking for any advice. Before we come to listeners' questions today, Michelle, you might just explain, first of all, what it is that a divorce mediator does.
Okay, so a mediator would be the alternative to litigation. So a mediator works with both sides. I suppose the primary difference between using traditional litigation and a mediator is that your mediator is there for the two parties. So it immediately doesn't create the divisiveness that a legal battle often can. So if you think your mediator is working with the two parties, hearing what's going on for both parties and enabling conversations to create an agreement that's workable for those two parties and generally the children. The idea is, Andrea, that your mediator will help keep you away from that legal battle, that costly battle, that lengthy route to separation and or divorce in Ireland.
Yeah.
So it's the alternative.
Yeah, so you're not a solicitor.
No.
You're a mediator.
Correct.
And you're the first, basically, port of call for somebody who doesn't want going down the legal route, or maybe for loads of reasons and financially, I assume, too. If people want to try and resolve this in advance of going to the steps of the courts, they come and chat to somebody like yourself.
Absolutely. And I suppose it's important to say that mediation can be accessed at any point. So whether or not litigation has started or you've decided to go and speak to a solicitor or both parties have engaged solicitors, at any point mediation can commence. So an awful lot of people will come to a mediator and say, no, I don't necessarily want to employ a solicitor as well. I mean, there's costs involved in all of this. And, you know, this is, you know, the elephant in the room. We know it's expensive, but it is hugely expensive when we get entrenched in battles. But you can access your mediator at any point throughout your divorce journey, so to speak.
Okay, 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number if you have questions here for Michelle Brown today. Maybe just to start, so somebody engages with the likes of yourself or some divorce mediator, what's the first thing you're doing?
I meet with both parties separately and I get an overview from those individuals as to what's important for them. Generally, the same things come up. It's the children. It's their fear for their financial futures. It's discussing what's gone on and enabling that to be heard, I suppose, is what goes on with each individual. Generally speaking, we come together in the same room. Now, and I think it's really important to state that it is not essential. It is not a legal requirement that they come together, because very often people can't sit in the same room, you know, and or they're not ready or they will down the line. But you meet the individuals separately. We then get a full disclosure of financial status and we fill an affidavit of means with each party. So that needs to be vouched for. Everything they're telling us needs to be verified and we take a look at what needs to be dealt with. Likewise, you know, what's going on with the children. We deal with parenting. Very often we make an interim parenting agreement with couples because the breakup is recent and they want to look after how best to deal with the access with the children. So depending upon what's going on, each couple is different. Each couple has different needs. But it's to relax the couple and realise, you know, this is a highly effective process. The mediation works. And people are absolutely delighted to realise that they don't have to go into court with each other.
Typically, Michelle, do people go down the mediation route prior to engaging with legal services?
I would say yes, an awful lot of people do. And an awful lot of people do it because they don't want to get entrenched. And they don't want to go down.
Success rate, or do we know that out of it?
Well, as mediators, we know our own success rates.
Okay.
And, you know, look, to be honest with you, I'm working with IPMO, Irish Professional Mediators Organisation, and the Mediators Institute of Ireland, and we know it's highly effective.
Yeah.
We know the rates of success are over 90% for the vast majority. Those who wish to, and people will say, well, Why doesn't it work? You know, when people have come to us and they're already entrenched in a legal battle, that's really, really hard. Or if somebody doesn't want to separate in the first place and they're only there because they feel, you know, they're given it airtime, but they don't necessarily want to do it, that makes making an agreement really, really hard.
All right. So to listeners' questions, Michelle, about this, my partner and I have children and we're wondering how custody arrangements are typically addressed in mediation. Do you help create a parenting plan and how do we ensure the kids' best interests are prioritised during these discussions?
Yeah. So look, parenting plans, number one, go hand in hand with separation agreements that are drafted whereby there's children involved. So yes. And as I said, you know, very often you do an interim parenting plan. But the parenting plan is created by the conversations with the parents. So you get the information from the parents as to what's important. So the same kind of format of questions are asked to both parents as to what's really, really important, what way they see it working out with time spent with mom and time spent with dad. And I will always say, look, you know, they're not a pizza, we're not cutting them in half. What works best for the kids? Where are they in school? Who's available? You know, and try and realise that we need to share this. What works best is the input of the two parents into that plan and the assistance in someone guiding them and managing them through that so that we can get it down. And to say, this isn't going to be set in stone. Parenting is always going to be a movable feast. You know, they're going to grow, they're going to develop, there's going to be different things. If we can work together with this, it's much, much more effective.
Okay. When is mediation not appropriate? Asks this listener.
There's very few instances. However, if there's criminal charges, such as abuse and so on, it may not be suitable. They're the kind of cases.
Okay.
And, you know, I really always feel there's so much need for those cases to be heard properly within in the courts. But there's so many cases that aren't necessary to be there. So, you know, they're few and far between that can't. But they're the kind of ones the abuse element.
I'm curious about how confidentiality works during mediation. Is everything discussed private and are there any exceptions to that confidentiality?
The confidentiality is covered by way of a mediated agreement when we start. On the outset of the mediation, we sign a confidentiality agreement.
You and the two parties?
Me and the parties. So when the parties come in, we sign a confidentiality agreement, which covers us. It's covered by law. Now, it is a confidential process whereby I hear of harm to a party in the mediation or another party. We are obviously that breaks confidentiality, but mediation in itself is a confidential process. And it's really important to build up the trust with the mediator.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're having your individual meetings, that is private. And obviously, if parties continue to mediate and are separate, you need permission to talk about whatever the topics are that you share.
087 1400 106, if you have a WhatsApp number for Michelle Brown today. This listener wants to clarify how financial matters are handled during divorce mediation. My partner and I have assets and debts that we'll need to discuss. How do we ensure fairness in dividing the financials? And will we be able to create legally binding agreements through this process?
Yeah, well, absolutely, you can create a legally binding separation agreement through this process. The only two matters in family law that are necessary to be put in front of a judge are pension adjustment orders and divorce applications. But going to court with your separation agreement in hand and your terms sorted makes dealing with a consent divorce a completely different application. So yes, you can create a legally binding agreement for a separation agreement outside of court with your mediator. And that's what the vast amount of people that are heading to mediators are dealing with. I suppose, how do you create fairness in that? Full disclosure is required. That's your affidavit of means and welfare. That must be verified. What does fairness look like? The input from the two parties will help create that fair agreement, but your mediator is there to manage that process. So, you know, it mightn't necessarily be 50-50 that is fair. It really depends on the circumstances of the individuals in front of you. Should either party have been at home for 15 or 20 years raising children and be exiting the marriage with a much less income than the party who has been supported throughout their career, it's not going to be 50-50.
It's very difficult, Michelle, isn't it? Particularly, like, you know, in today's kind of era where maybe if people come onto the table with the property before the relationship started, or like it's...
Well, that's another matter that I feel strongly needs to be addressed. We do not have correct legislation in place for prenuptial agreements, which would deal with matters like property before we come in or different assets. And that that is something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed urgently, and it would reduce and deal with an awful lot of the problems that we see in front of the courts. So that's a matter of prenuptial agreements. We don't have it though. Yeah. We don't have them. We can create a prenuptial agreement, but it does not have to be accepted. We need the legislation to be amended to deal with prenuptial agreements. But, you know, we have to try and make fair agreements with what we have.
Now, how can a couple best prepare for their first mediation, asks this listener, because my ex-husband and I don't speak.
Well, that's okay. They wouldn't be unusual, and such is the nature of conflict, and that's why you're employing a mediator to work with you. To prepare, I would say, to agree to come to mediation, step number one. That very often, the hardest first step is to get the parties to the table. You know, so if you can get over that hurdle, and clients will often say, well, when they're not talking, well, I'm not going to who you picked, or I'm not going to who you picked. Yeah.
That's a hard one, I suppose, in the first instance, just to address that. If the husband and wife don't speak and they're trying to engage at mediation, how do they find an agreeable mediator to meet with?
Well, this is what I'm saying. If the parties would just say, what's the preparation? A mediator does not take sides. And I say to my clients, you know, it does not make any difference what I hear. I am of no use if I'm on either party's side. So a professional mediator, it won't make any difference. Get yourself to that first meeting. Bring nothing. Don't prepare. Just get yourself to your first meeting, because that's the biggest, hardest step for people to get themselves in. And to try not engage in a legal battle. Try not send those solicitor's letters. Ask your partner to attend mediation. Mm. Communicate in whatever way is the most effective for you guys. If you're texting, if you're emailing, you know, ask the partner.
Yeah. Should you tell the children you're engaging with mediation?
Very often in mediation, we create a plan as to how we're going to tell the children. I will say to clients, once you're on the same page, that's huge. You know, children are affected by conflict, and severe protracted conflict with court cases affects our children negatively. If you can start off by singing off the same hymn sheet and make that plan with your mediator as to what you're going to tell the children, and make sure you're on the same page.
Okay. There's another little question here from a listener wondering about just very recently separated. We're both, myself and my husband, still living in the same house, though. We've two children with a huge age gap, finding it very difficult to communicate the situation to them.
Yeah, it's tough. Again, I will say, when you're both saying the same thing and there's not mixed messages, if you're in the same house and you're feeling very different about what's going on, you know, so create that agreement and be clear with your message that it's the same from both parties. It really, really helps, because, you know, as I say, it does have can have a negative impact on our children. And it's really, really important what we do at the stage when we separate to reduce that conflict, because we know the effect of these battles on our children is hugely damaging.
So at the end of the mediation process, you hope that you have, you know, some sort of an agreement, some kind of document to work from going forward?
Correct. The vast majority of people leave the mediation process with a legally binding separation agreement in hand. Now, depending upon the couple, some are ready to go for their consent divorce to the courts. Others will wait, and others will say, well, we're not interested. The main reason people need a divorce is to remarry. An awful lot of people will psychologically say, well, I want a divorce piece of paper. That's fine.
Yeah.
But really, technically, we need a divorce to remarry in Ireland.
Okay. And that's usually, is it, why a lot of people, that's why they engage with it?
No, I would say to people, like, you're in a contract when you're married. If you're separated and you have no contract as to what should happen with the assets, you know, you're leaving yourself wide open. When you're married, you can take a case against the person you're married for whatever. So people want to get these things sorted. Our fears around our financial security going forward are huge when we separate. That's the main reason people come. It's seldom people are coming to rush up the aisle again.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Divorce mediator, I should say, Michelle Bryan. Michelle, thanks a million for coming in to answer listener questions this afternoon.
No problem.
The email, as always, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.